So it was a common day in the life of Marilyn. He was out, happy, and about to begin his studies in communications at the local Confederation College in September. His life was great. But later that evening, local Thunder Bay police found the boy badly beaten on a chair on the north end of Thunder Bay. His organs were failing. He was put on life support only so his mother could see, touch, feel her son once more. He was a young soul who was out to go in the world of journalism and communicate with the indigenous people under the bridges and bushes in an attempt to lessen the gap existing between their community and Canada. This is just one in a thousand of sudden and unexplained deaths in the indigenous community. The police, the government, don't want us to see this dirty side of the system, but it's important for us to know how these minorities are treated in society, how they're going unrecognized, and we are sitting here doing nothing to tarnish the systematic racism occurring around us. Seven Fallen Feathers is a book I read recently. It's not really a work of literature most people would want to read, but it's a book based on true and existing conditions in the indigenous community, highlighting where and how our system has wronged the majority of these people. Most importantly, what is not being done to fix this.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Where most of the racism occurs is in Winnipeg, and that is where the Break by Katharina Vermette book plot is. Bonds of love, community, and resilience between Indigenous women are not only powerful, but real. Family, love, identity issues, systematic racism, and violence, troubled Indigenous teens, and missing, murdered Indigenous women are just a few different issues that Katharina Vermette have discussed in The Break. This is a connection of all women and how one story connects and binds us all. Issues that women go through every day that needs to be discussed. 1,117 Indigenous females were reported murdered. This is 4.5 times higher than non-Indigenous women being reported for murder in Canada.
I understand where Zolha and Ravine are coming from, but there are many ways to tell a story, and humor is often undervalued, especially for this tool. Specifically, because some non-Aboriginal readers feel uncomfortable acknowledging anything comedic, and obviously in such an emotionally charged situation. But humor is more complex than that. Did you know it can be more like an emotional pressure valve without losing like its sort of bite? The absurdist understood this, and so does Tracy Lindberg. In this story, Birdie, she allowed herself to take a Cree Métis woman who moves from northern Alberta to Gibson's, British Columbia. It's home of the CBC television series, The Beachcombers. A girlhood obsession with Pat John, who played Bruno Garusi's Aboriginal cohort, Jesse. He's basically what brings Bernice, known as Birdie, to Gibson's, and this storyline is actually minor, and some might argue it's underrealized. If you put Beachcomber in a can-lit novel, you'd better use him, no? But while her celebrity crush is a healthy working Indian man, it prompts Bernice to move. She's about to take much of a greater journey, but sadly, she doesn't realize what she's putting herself into. So Bernice, she basically takes herself into a darkly comic and moving first novel about the universal experience of recovering from wounds of the past. She is onto something of some sort of like vision quest. She allows herself to understand the message from The Frugal Gourmet. It's another show on television from CBC North. And Pat Johns is in it. With the arrival in Gibson's of her auntie Val and her cousin Skinny Freda, Bernice finds the strength to face the past and draw the lessons from her dreams that she was never fully taught in life. Part road trip, dream quest, and travelogue, the novel touches on the universality of women's experience regardless of culture or race. She doesn't find the answers she needs, though.
So, just like how Absha had said that Bernice didn't get the answer that she needed, it's the same thing with Eden Robinson's latest novel, Son of a Trickster, you know? So, right when you open the book, it features a quote from another Indigenous story that we've already learned about, and it's about the trickster, which is the trickster Coyote from the story Coyote Columbus, which is a reoccurring presence in the Indigenous, you know, storytelling, and a lot of people like to tell that story. And Coyote is... he's the original trickster, but in this book, it focuses more on the story of a 16-year-old kid, just like the rest of us over here. I'm pretty sure maybe some of you will be 17. But a story about Jared, who lives with his mother, who is always drinking, her boyfriend, because her dad had left her, and now he's financially unstable, and his baby dog, who had ended up dying within the first couple of pages. Jared's a good person, but he needs to also help out his family. So what he does is he resorts to selling weed cookies in his basement. He does that so he could help his father and his family. He's a really good teenager. He likes drinking, partying, smoking, but he doesn't really focus when it comes to his education. And another thing is his own grandmother doesn't even like him because she keeps on thinking that right when he was born, he was the son of a trickster. So he wouldn't really know, right? What's the truth, what's not. Same thing as the last story that Abshir was saying about Bernice, because she doesn't know the truth. So Jared doesn't know either. The thing with Jared is that now, even when he's not high or smoking, the raven, he starts talking to animals for no reason. So maybe he is the son of a trickster.
The Break is an extraordinary, intellectual, and reasonable book that shows the power of family and how family can help you through the most toughest of times. What The Break delivers is the reality of how people in society react. When Stella saw a girl being raped right in front of her, she wanted to do something and wanted to help. But she thought, oh, the police will handle it. The police will do it. She will be okay. Sexual abuse is not okay. It is a serious matter that can happen to anyone. And unfortunately, in Canada, Indigenous women face this harsh reality on a daily basis. We tend to rely on other people and think it's the issue that the police can handle. But no. This is our issue as well. Imagine being your sister, your mother, your niece, and daughter going through this. You would want someone to help. You would want someone to intervene, right? From heartbreak, guilt, bond, and love. These stories of different individuals all connect with each other to show that one issue is everyone's issue, and it affects us all.
Ideally, Zoha, families are at the forefront of everything in life. Human beings just don't thrive alone. We need our family and friends as pillars of support, especially in difficult times. Yep. Having a strong network of supportive family members and friends, it just enhances our well-being and mental state. So like as you were saying in your book and your novel, or in your novel just in general, you were saying that your main character, which his name was
Stella,
she goes through this, basically this
hard, rough patch of seeing a girl being raped right in front of her, yeah.
Yeah, well, Bernice basically doesn't have a very good support system in her life. So what happens is she gets to figure out everything on her own, and this allows her to just go astray. And imagine one of your role models in life being someone on TV, and you go out to like find them and ask questions about them, and how would life be? Would it be very easy or difficult?
Well, I feel like after talking to them, it will make life a little bit more easier.
Okay, now imagine that you flew out to British Columbia to ask those questions to that person who you feel like goes through the same situations as you, and they give you answers that you weren't looking for. Where would you be at a mind state?
I'd be confused.
Exactly. You have nobody else to go to.
Yeah.
So what would you do?
I really don't know.
So this shows that my book, Birdie, it's very significant when it shows how empathetic we have to be to the Indigenous life, and to understand each other's situations in life, and to basically go at it with a open mindset of how do we help these people.
Yeah.
I also feel like many people question why the natives don't have any trust or faith in the Nunderi police, because we haven't experienced the treatment the police give the Indigenous community. My book, Seven Fallen Feathers, it clearly shows how the police response to incidents such as kidnappings, murders, etc. in the Indigenous community, and versus when it happens to a non-Indigenous person. So when it happens to an Indigenous person, they give no importance at all or attention to the issue. So an example from my book was when they were talking in the first chapter about the first death of the Indigenous kid, the aunt of the kid, Jethro, she contacted Thunder Bay police in the search of her nephew. She said, "My nephew hasn't come home." And the police had the audacity to respond to her nephew and say, "He's just out partying like every other Native kid." And they hung up the phone. I feel like everyone should feel safe and at ease when they're contacting the police. They should have belief in them that the police will help them and pay attention to their problems. This is
exactly what my book shows, how systematic racism is effective, which affects so many young Indigenous women and girls, and how it can have a tragic effect on them, both life, mentally, and physically.
And physically, yeah.
Also in my book, his cousin, he had found a lead on the death
the death of Jethro, but he didn't bring his lead to the police until 10 years later because he didn't trust the Thunder Bay Police. This is just one in a million examples of the lack of trust the police carries within the Thunder Bay Police.
This drives me to my second point. The book repeats over and over again the trauma the young Indigenous female face. From Phoenix's mom, who was a druggie, and leaves Phoenix all alone because she was raped at a young age, does not have any support from her mother, and Phoenix is angry about that. She calls her weak, pathetic, and terrible mother. But she has a lack of love. She states on the one page of the book, he buys his daughter the best of everything, name brands on all her clothes. Phoenix, perfectly heartbreaking passage, says that's love, which is not true. Phoenix at a young age went through trauma because of her mother, because her mother also went through trauma. This is a cycle of pain that's gone through from adults to children to children to children.
So would you say it's some sort of like a snowball effect?
This is exactly what I'm saying. This trauma affects everybody and every... This is like cycle of Indigenous women and girls face.
See, this is why I kind of agree with you, because when talking about the son of the trickster, you all and the rest of your books, you guys all have the same problems. Not the same problem, but more based on that this is all of as of right now. It's not that there's some problems in the past too, you know, like when it comes to residential schools and all, but these problems, like in these books, it's kind of present day.
Yeah.
So when it comes, even in my novel, it's like coming of the age. So it's very recent and it just focuses on like your average teenager, you know, maybe he's just going to school and wants to chill with the cool kids. So you know what he does? Oh, let me just make some weed cookies, you know, let's become the biggest and the best. Yeah. And but he does that. But out of thing is, you think that, oh, he just wants to be cool, but he also does that to support his family. You're talking about people who like, they've witnessed, you know, someone get raped right in front of them. And all that stuff, right? So the thing is, when you talk about Jared with his family, his mom, when she drinks, she gets very violent. Mm-hmm. So it's the same, like, yo, someone, you're watching someone, you know, get raped, like, across the street from you, and you can't do anything about it.
It's the same idea of you're helpless, right?
That's right. And Jared was helpless because every time his mom drinks, she gets violent. She decides to get a knife. She decides to get, you know, like, the shoe strapper, any type of weapon, and she beats her kids. That's not how it's supposed to be, is it not?
Also, oh my God, to add on to your point, Canada has like shown like the world that they have made changes like in the Indigenous community. We have like, they have apologized, they have funded the communities, they're trying to fix what they did in the past, but they really haven't. It's the exact same how it was before, but just like it's not Canada doing it anymore.
The violence that's shown in the book reflects on real life. For example, there was this one character, Rain, who was beaten to death by a man because she did not agree with some, did not have agreeing points with the man. She was very vocal about her opinion, so she was beaten to death by a man because of that. And she had no charges on him, and he was, did not even go to jail, walking free. And Emily raped in the night by a beer bottle just shows the violence that so many girls are faced, but yet they're not brought to justice.
See, yeah. To move on about the snowball effect and how each of us, we connect with support systems and the idea of being helpless, and all of our main characters just need help in general. But the definition of identity is who you are, the way you think about yourself, the way you're viewed by the world, and the characteristics that define you. So for instance, Bernice herself, she doesn't know anything about herself. She goes to look out for herself. She goes to find answers. But the thing is, she doesn't know where these answers are. So when she goes to this TV show spokesperson and she doesn't find these answers, what does she feel like? Helpless. She doesn't know what to do. She doesn't know where to go to. But her aunt who lives there as well, she doesn't know, like, does she even want to reach out to her? It's tough, you know?
But what I found most intrigued by my book that stands out my book the most is the fact that my book doesn't focus on the violence, but shows the importance of family and womanhood. When Flora was a young girl, she was abandoned, an orphan child, and she did not belong in her family, and she was not loved. But when she met Charlie, she had love and happiness. But life kept going as Cheryl had her, and she had Cheryl.
See, this is where I kind of agree with you, because when you were talking about, you know, you were talking about how, like, life goes on. When you think about Jared and what Avshar was also saying, he was talking about something else. Yeah, he was talking about identity. So when you think about Jared, my book kind of has basically everything you guys have. It has violence, identity. And now when you think, when I focus more on the more Indigenous aspect, in this book, Jared is and his family is focused. They're an Indigenous family, and they're actually struggling through poverty. As you know, like, you know, the stats to poverty in Canada, like, just for food banks, it's 14%. 14% of the people are Indigenous. And that's a problem, because they have such a small population, do they not? It's not that big. But how is it that if it's so small, why is 14% of the Indigenous people going to food banks. His own father can't support him, and Jared has to do it. What about selling drugs? Making in his basement?
Wow.
The kids in the indigenous community, they also feel like outcasts. Karan Strang, he was a kid in the book Seven Fallen Feathers. He was treated like an outcast by the non-indigenous kids, and he would literally get egged by the white kids. People would yell out of passing cars saying, go back to your home, go back to your land. Meanwhile, he would respond, this is our land. This is the exact kind of scenario all indigenous face, being thrown food at, and even being called names. Often in Thunder Bay, by the term Bogans is used to refer to the indigenous by whites.
Exactly. Where's the justice for that? Why isn't the people intervening? Why isn't the police not intervening? This is one of the biggest issues that we face today.
The police, from the times of residential schools, they were the ones that were pulling the kids out of their homes and putting them at residential schools. They haven't been taught. The police are still doing the same actions they were doing before. Now, and they haven't been taught that we have to change. We have to treat them like equals.
And this is exactly what our book, at least What Break by Catherine Vermette, shows. All these issues affecting women, even indigenous people in the community as well.
Asha. Yeah, well, to wrap this up, it's been a very interesting and informative segment, but we don't have much time right now. So we'll move on to it in part two of this.
Yes.
I agree.
I'm generally not a sensitive person, but the book has a way of bringing out certain emotions. I remember one part specifically. From chapter 1 to 5, you're reading stories that are relatively similar. They go through the transition from living on a reserve to a new city, and then you read about how difficult it is. But chapter 5 was different. Paul, he followed all the rules put in place to help Indigenous youth during the transition. He put in the effort into creating a strong relationship with his family, but he still wound up dead. This was very upsetting, as it proved that the system is failing our Indigenous children. But that's when I realized this is what this book was meant to do.
But what I like about my book is that how Catherine Vermette makes the female characters in The Break strong and resemble them to wolves. The First Nations had great respect for wolves because of their likeness. Both Indigenous people and wolves hunt, gather, defend, and even educate their tribe or pack. The wolf has been respected as a very family-oriented animal because he mates for life, watches, and protects his young until they are old enough to be independent, and protects the elders as well. Hunters would carve or paint lightning snakes with the head of wolves on their canoes and believed that the hunting skills of the wolves would help them hunting skills on the water. Wow, that's just amazing how Indigenous females have such high regards and are treated with equality and respect. And look how they're treated in Canadian society. It's absolutely horrible.
See, I kind of agree with you guys, but over here you're talking about how you're hunting and how there's female equality in the Indigenous community. But I also think that with my book, why I feel that you guys should read my book over the rest of yours is due to the fact that my book actually focuses on a specific part of Indigenous culture, and that's the trickster. The name of the book is The Son of the Trickster, after all. But that ponders a great question. What is the trickster and what does he do in the book? What's his role, right? Well, the book's setting is in BC, and this focuses on the trickster from BC, the one that Eden Robinson had chosen, and that was the Ouija. And that's a transforming raven. That transforming raven has many functions within the Indigenous community, but the biggest is to teach children the most important thing, and that's by breaking all the rules. So it gives you an example of what not to do. So that's basically, the Ouija basically talks to Jared, which is a character in my book, as you already know, and he talks to him because he ends up breaking most of the rules. He starts doing drugs, he drinks, parties all the time, and then like he's just trying to support for his family while doing so. So that bad example, and you can see like throughout the book, these are all the consequences that Jared has to go through, which is why he's a little bit, you know, it seems like he's kind of mental sometimes. Which is why I think that this raven, like the Ouija, and it's a part of the Indigenous culture, kind of helps with understanding more.
I agree with you on that part. But with Tracy Lindberg's Birdie novel, she's sort of passive-aggressive when it comes to writing this novel and explaining about Bernice's livelihood, and it's a brutal outlook on sexual abuse and mental health. You know, the broad themes explored here are like, for instance, Bernice's first bra shopping experience. There was a certain comfort in having someone so assured make decisions at such an embarrassing time. Still, it was hard to remember that when her Kokom grandmother whipped out a piece of twine, wrapped it around her ribcage, and passed it to the wide-eyed sales clerk. you know, this big, she had said, or she was this big, you know, it was shocking. Yes, Bernice is fat, and Lindsberg regularly reminds us of this, but she's a big, beautiful Cree woman. And the perspective of this shown in this novel, it kind of shows how people are perceived in today's society when it comes to being not only a female, but also an indigenous woman. So what the novel is trying to explain to us is basically don't be so narrow-minded and have a broad idea on like how to be more inclusive.
I agree with both of you about your big stories, but your stories only focus on one part of the indigenous people. My story, it talks about all the horrible treatment of indigenous people, but to read the stories has had a completely different impact on me. This is one of the reasons I was drawn to this book, as it was nonfiction. The way in which the author jumps from past to present and is able to connect two different stories was something I found very interesting. For example, what she did with Chani, Winjack, and Jordan, and how she connected the two even though they were years apart, and also how she connected such major issues from the past to such recent events, like the impact of residential schools have on Indigenous youth.
Your story is absolutely amazing too, and how it kind of connects with you, resonates with you like that. But my book talks, my book is also, The Break by Katharina Vermette is also really good, as it talks more than about one issue. And what really stands about my book is that it doesn't focus on the violence, but it really talks about the womanhood and how Indigenous community come together in these hard times.
Yeah, wouldn't you guys say that mental health and the idea of women in the Indigenous culture in today's society are the two biggest problems?
See, yeah, I do agree with you.
The deaths are a really big important part as well. So many Indigenous youth are going missing and
That's the women though, right? It's the girls and women.
It's not only the women, it's also the youth.
But it affects everybody, I feel. And it feels like that if it affects the whole community.
Yeah, that's why I kind of talk about when it comes to poverty, and then it comes into my other point. Because this affects everyone around us. It's not just that, because my thing's a coming of age novel, so it released to every single one of us, even now. So it's not just the females. My thing involves all of the
Indigenous community. Yeah, and how we talked about the snowball effect. It just keeps going from generation to generation to generation. So this is sort of the snowball effect that it talks about in The Break by Katharina Vermette.
Like, nothing has changed over the years. It's still the same as it was back then.
Yeah.
Honestly, the book Seven Fallen Feathers was very eye-opening to me, and it did something that politics and the campaigning couldn't do in Canada. It's something that everyone needs to read, as it could have a large impact on our society, and it could truly make a change on the Indigenous youth in Canada.
To be quite honest, Bernice in this novel of Tracy Lindberg's Birdie, I would say it was very, in hindsight, it was very specific on Bernice's life and what she went through and what she tried to get out of life, basically. So with my understanding, I'd say this book is the most important because it kind of hits on all points of Indigenous culture in today's society, and it's very rewarding when it comes to the perspectives that you get on it.
See, the thing is, I agree with both of you, but with my novel by Eden Robinson, it took her around 13 years just to come up with the idea of the Ouija, which is the part of the Indigenous culture. And then also the fact that this book is like of this age that everyone can relate to, like teenagers, adults, and it's a part of the Indigenous community. I feel like how Abshad said for his book, for Birdie, this kind of hits on each point too, because not only does like all the other people that are talking about their book, they all talk about like, you know, when it comes to Indigenous like female abuse or missing people, but my book has aspects of each single thing, of every little part, when it comes to Indigenous poverty, getting the land taken away, talking about the culture itself. So it kind of hits on all points as well.
See, all of your books is amazing, but The Break is a reflection on society. It is so important to read and understand the issues that Indigenous women face. We feel that it does not affect us, and it is not our problem. But we are wrong. If it can happen to one individual, it can happen to any of us. We have to acknowledge, respect, and understand the issues that are happening in our country, Canada. It may be a peaceful country, but no country is perfect or near to perfection. There is always room for improvement. And in one of the chapters that you are going to read in The Break by Katharina Vermette, it's going to give you a small spect of different individuals and different perspectives and how they face different issues that are all somehow tied together. And this is why my book stands out. It is different from other, it's different. People telling one exact story. My name is Zoha.
My name is Rodney.
My name is Asher.
And my name is Fabio.
And thank you for listening to our podcast.